This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Time now for another edition of the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen on the air this week with, first of all, the news that affects all of us, or many of us, or most of us anyway, in the family farm business, the connection between our farms and our families and the food that our customers, our clients, our patrons, our followers are eating. Very important. I wonder how many of you joined with the National Association of Farm Broadcasters this week. I think 70-80% of farmers listen to programs like this on the radio. I think that we have service in mind, or at least I do when I'm doing my farm broadcast. I'm a farmer. Most of the farm guys that are on the radio have farm experience for sure. So as we celebrate National Ag Day this week, celebrating all of the things that are important, sharing the ag industries. I don't like to use that word necessarily, but I think it's appropriate here because I don't like industrial farming. But we do have a lot of different sectors. We grow vegetables. We feed crops. We have fiber crops. We have fruits. We have dairy. We have all of these things, raising cattle and hogs and sheep. So I'm an advocate for farmers using their voice to keep what they have and to grow it, as a matter of fact. So I like to talk about, I don't know that I do a good job, frankly, all the time talking about all segments in agriculture, because there are certain things, you know, I don't talk much about horses, for example. I don't talk about haying very much. I don't talk about growing cover crops very much. But I really do. I think all these things happen, certainly, and are a part of local farming. And so the stories need to be told. And I'm so proud of where we've gone with this program, 270 or 80 stations around the country, and the podcast every week at AmericanFamilyFarmersShow.com. So as you reach out to try to keep yourself connected, I think that I'm really, and I don't say this to be a jerk, but I really am the only guy on the air who's speaking to the interests of the small family farmer, and thus I don't have much advertising because all the money is being spent for agricultural programs that talk wonderfully well in glowing terms about the big ag businesses, and I'm just not there. So I'd rather be able to tell the story. By the way, the most recent news and information on the podcast at AmericanFamilyFarmersShow.com has a focus on this farm. It's called Square Roots Farm. It's in Brooklyn, New York, of all places. An indoor urban farming company makes the connection to cities and the farm pretty cool. It's a lot of focus on how they grow their produce. It's another idea for you to use. And we also have conversation about grocery stores, how to sell groceries in a place where there are lots and lots and lots of farms where people can go to have their choices. So anyway, check out the podcast at AmericanFamilyFarmersShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts. So meanwhile, back to talking about this America. I think it should be, instead of National Farm Day, I think that it ought to be National Farm Week or maybe National Farm Month. As I said, I don't spend a whole lot of time talking about beef cattle because it's just not much in my wheelhouse. But there are a lot of young beef producers, a lot of people that are coming along in the industry. And again, I use that term advisedly, that are, you know, a pretty important part of the agricultural sector section. And I think, actually, when it comes to understanding the production of beef and how it's done, that may lend itself more to working or being done on the American family farm than some of the other things. You know, big, huge feedlots and things like that, not necessarily the best thing that we have going for us. You know, one of the other things that's been a focus of National Farm Day and Farm Week is how to manage stress on the farm, how to deal with the things that are going on right now, the way that the government is handling this payment, the business of where the money is going, who's getting it. I find it obnoxious, frankly. The more I talk about it, the angrier I get. And this administration is not much better than the last one when it comes to making sure that all the people that are in the marketplace get their fair share. It's just not happening. How many of you are growing soybeans? I see the average farmer, the average farm that's into the soybean business is growing somewhere between 88 and 93 acres of soybeans and corn on their farm. We're talking about family farms now. I'm not talking about the huge agribusinesses. So how much do you grow on your farm? And how much do you pay attention to the commodities markets, the farm future markets for soybean and wheat crops? One of the things that hasn't been, one of the things that hasn't been trailed well is the commodity market for milk, because it really, it's a commodity that has short shelf life, whereas the other things like corn and winter wheat and soybeans and durum and all of that stuff, they all have long shelf lives. You've got to take care of them so they don't get mold and rot on them. But you know what I'm saying. It's a sort of a different thing. The acreage expansions that are going on, we're talking about for this year, and the assets that we have to think about and where we're going. I've been talking about who's been buying up farmland. Very troubling that the Chinese are buying as much as they are. But they're hiring Americans to do their work, because they don't know how to do it. They just know that they need food. The biggest, as of this past past week, actually, in the commodity markets, the biggest customer for our food is China, back to being the number one buyer of beans and corn and wheat and things. So I guess that I'm death on China, as far as I don't have any use for the Chinese government. It's not about the Chinese people, it's about the government and what they're doing. But they recognize they need us. So that's one of the reasons they want to control more of the production, because they want to, you know, be able to get stuff cheaper for their own people. And that's something that's going to affect the prices that all of us get, I think, in the marketplace. Fixing America's food system. I think that's the other thing that the farm folks ought to be looking at on Ag Day. The pandemic revealed how brittle the food system is. And it's made me think a lot about how things were on the farm when I was a kid growing up. I had a man who was like my second father. His name was David Mayo. He was born on the 4th of July, and I called him Uncle Sam. And he taught me more about life and what life was like with the animals than anybody else. And I think about what I learned as I've tried to manage the cows that I have during the pandemic, and how I could help through this program as much as anything else, but locally here in my community, to get food, organized things, foods that were going to go to grocery stores and making more available to people, making people aware of where they could come and get it. And that's, I think, one of the things rural America needs to do today, suburban, wherever there are farms. You need to do a better job as we go into the new growing season of getting people to pay attention to you. Lots of things in social media, lots of things going on the farm that will bring people in, so that they'll know not only can they learn about farming, but they can also get good food, which is what most people, you know, even though we find the fast food people all over the place trying to, you know, grab our attention and grab our money, there's still, I think, is a preference among people listening to this program, understanding what the real world is like in terms of farming and food. So a couple of items there, again, about National Ag Day here on the American Family Farmer Show. I'm Doug Steffen, introducing you to a product that I've been talking about on the radio and my various programs for a couple of months now. It's called Clear, X-L-E-A-R. That's how it's spelled. You can go to their website if you want to. It actually, once I tell you how easy it is to get this product at all of the grocery stores and drug stores that are around, natural retailers. It's an all-natural product. The main ingredient is xylitol, which comes, as many of you know, from the fruits and vegetables that you raise. Been around for a couple of decades, works against bacterial and viral colonies in your nose, breaking up all of these things. So I carry this little bottle, a clear bottle, with me every day, all day, and two or three times during the day, I take a shot, like I did just then, up into the the nostrils. It cleans out all of the things that are in there, safe for everybody in your family. So make sure that you avail yourself of this opportunity. Take it with you, especially if you're out working now in the fields, a little dusty, and you're going to have things there that you want to keep out of your system. So help yourself. Go to clear.com. As a matter of fact, you might want to sign the petition that they have there. The folks in a lot of companies that are doing the sort of say the nasal sprays want the CDC to urge the doctors of America to help people. And one of the healthy ways to keep yourself in the nostrils and the nasal cavity free is to use these sprays like Clear. So you can sign the, if you will, go to clear.com and just sign the petition that's there so everybody can have a more, I guess, an enlightened approach to keeping yourself healthy. Find it at clearxlear.com.
Have you gained the quarantine 15? Or maybe it's 20, 30, or even more by now? Well, you can get your weight back on track by using Calitrin. Just listen to what everyone is saying.
My name is Jessica. I'm from the state of Texas, and I've been taking Calitrin. I take it both for weight loss and for the health benefits. I have lost 50 pounds, and I take it every night to help me sleep, and I feel I'm better rested in the morning after I've taken it.
My name is John. I am from Lafayette, Louisiana, and I have lost 59 pounds on Calitrin.
Hi, this is Beth from Texas, and I've been using Calitrin and found that it has improved my life immeasurably. I use it for arthritis pain. The pain is gone. I am able to get up in the morning and move around without any discomfort.
Calitrin is drug-free, stimulant-free, and has a huge 86% success rate with 90 days. Check out Calitrin's big sale at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
Introducing Clear. It's pronounced clear, but it's spelled X-L-E-A-R. It's the natural sinus care system that hydrates while it works against contaminants. Clear helps keep you healthy by assisting your immune system, washing out all that gunk that's in your airways. Clear contains xylitol, which is a natural ingredient found in a lot of fruits and vegetables. We've known this for over two decades. Recent research shows that xylitol also blocks viral adhesion. That's the SARS-CoV-2 virus. With Clear, you can enjoy the small moments no matter what the season. Clear also offers nasal sprays for children. Learn more about Clear by visiting clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. You can get it on Amazon or over the counter at your favorite drug or grocery store. It's natural, so all the natural retailers will carry Clear as well. Clear, X-L-E-A-R, clear.com. Back in the fold here on the American Family Farmer Show, I'm Doug Steffen. Joining us now is Leslie Sobel, who is a research fellow for Food in Prison, which on the surface and probably deep down, Leslie, is a very interesting project, Food in Prison. How did this start, and how did you get involved?
So the Food in Prison project is run through Impact Justice, which is a national innovation and research center working towards building a more restorative system of justice that's fair to everyone. And several years ago, our president, Alex Buzanski, was at an event where he heard someone talking about school food, and someone commented, you know, well, we don't want our school food to look like prison food now, do we? And that got Alex thinking, you know, most people probably don't really know what prison food is like, and there hasn't been a lot of research done into the state of prison food. So he decided that Impact Justice should take a deeper look into this idea of food in prison. What is it like? What are the consequences of the way that we're serving people who are locked up? And I'm an ethnographer and a folklorist. I focus on food and culture, and I saw a posting for a research position on idealist.org, and that's how I'm here.
So what is a, help people understand, you described yourself as an ethnographer. What is an ethnographer? I mean, I understand ethnicity, so I'm guessing that you follow, but rather than me explain it, tell us what an ethnographer is.
Sure. So it's really someone who is studying people and looking at culture and documenting and researching people and culture. And I specialize in looking at food and culture and the relationship that people have with food.
All right. So let's talk about how those two go together as we continue here. I've introduced you to Leslie Sobel from the Food in Prison organization. We're going to find out more about how this works and how family farms can help influence what perhaps is going on in the prisons that are near you as we continue here on the American Family Farm.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Welcome to the farm, where you can roll your windows down. Baby, take my arm. I ain't hearing nothing, such a beautiful sound.
Back to our American Family Farmer Show discussion of prison food. Who would have thought this would be something that is on the mind of a lot of people, but apparently it is. Leslie Sobel is here from Food in Prison. We've gotten her background, this business about why it's important. It's another one of the segments of society. Probably, no way, if you're in prison, I can hear people that are listening to this program right now saying, Leslie, if they're in prison, why do they need special food? They're in prison for a reason. They've done something wrong, so they have to pay the price. So what do you say to people who say, why should I care about what's being served to prisoners in jail?
Well, to start off, what and how we eat impacts every aspect of who we are. And food really blurs the lines between our biological and our social selves. We have to eat to survive, but at the same time, we have these rituals and traditions around food. And food connects us to people and places and rhythms of life. And we use food to express identity and communicate relationships and values. And none of that relationship that we have with food, this really profound relationship, none of that changes just because someone is incarcerated. And the food that we're serving to people in this country who are incarcerated, it's not just a question of saying, oh, well, should they get special food? It's a question of really humane food. And because food has such a deep impact, you know, it impacts us physically, which most people, I think, understand. The typical prison diet is really, you know, the portions are too small, so people are hungry all the time. The diet is usually very high in sodium and sugar and refined carbohydrates. It's low in fresh fruits and vegetables. It's basically the diet that we've all been told to avoid for decades. So it's really impacting health. There's research that shows that critical nutrients, when people have a deficiency of certain nutrients, it can actually contribute to mental health issues, not just things like depression, but also contributing to aggressive behavior or violent behavior or poor decision-making skills. So we're really doing people more harm than good when we're serving people who are in prison food that is, you know, potentially harmful to the health, and is also sometimes inhumane. In many prisons, the conditions are so poor that people are receiving food that has shards of metal or, you know, feces of vermin and things like that in it. So the situation is really bad pretty much across the country.
So does it make you, that begs the question. I wonder whether if you go state by state, if there, and if you go by local jails, county jails, state system, the federal system, does it vary there? And again, location and degree of criminal element in the prison. I mean, I can think of in my state of Massachusetts, you want no one to go to Walpole State Prison because it's basically the worst possible place you could go, and the hardened criminals that are there, you don't want to have anything to do with. But let's say you go to a local jail for some infraction, and, you know, the food that you're served is something that isn't really, it's not on the top of the mind of the people who are running the jail. I'm sure it isn't, is it? So do you try to bring this? Do you go to all levels of incarceration facilities to try to teach them about these things? And do they all pay attention to you?
Our initial study, our initial investigation looking at prison food across the U.S. focused on state prison systems. However, most of the formerly incarcerated people and their loved ones whom we spoke with, people had been in county jails and local jails before they were sent to prison. And mm-hmm. Census is that food in county jails tends to be even worse than in prison.
All right, so that's good. That's an interesting anecdote. That's why I wanted, because a lot of that is probably fed in some way locally because of the local jail. Continuing with Leslie Sobel from Food in Prison, something you hadn't probably thought much about, folks, right? Well, that's our focus here this week in part anyway on the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. Did you know that MyPillow is about more than just a fantastic pillow? MyPillow has given the same attention that they've given to their pillows now to towels and sheets. The proprietary technology in each MyPillow towel makes them highly effective because they're absorbent, soft to the touch, no lotiony feel to them. Each Giza sheet also is made with the world's best cotton, making it ultra soft and breathable. The sateen weave gives them a luxurious finish and will have you sleeping like a dream. Every product is available in a variety of colors and sizes, machine washable, durable, comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Visit MyPillow.com, learn more about it. Right now, for all of the listeners to the DJV programs, all six-piece towel sets and Giza sheets are buy one, get one free. Just use the promo code DJV at checkout. That's MyPillow.com, code DJV for buy one, get one free on all six-piece towel sets and the Giza Dream Sheets.
This report is sponsored by IBM. Climate change, a pressing issue that is compromising our planet. But can technology be used to find new solutions? Through Call for Code, a powerful tech for good platform, IBM and partners are working to unite developers and problem solvers to create applications with AI, cloud, and other modern technologies that can help tackle our current climate crisis. Ruth Davis, director of Call for Code.
Climate change is one of the most pressing issues of our time. We must apply our collective ingenuity and cutting-edge technologies to make a lasting difference. I encourage every developer and innovator around the world to seize this opportunity to answer the call.
This year's ongoing global initiative launched on March 22nd together with new partners like Heifer International and Charity Water. The winning team will receive a prize of $200,000 and support from IBM, the Linux Foundation, and other partners to further develop and deploy their solution in communities where it's most needed. Visit IBM.com/callforcode to submit your solution.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
North Korea launched two short-range ballistic missiles off its east coast on Thursday in its first significant provocation against the United States under President Biden. Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga of Japan was the first regional leader to announce that North Korea had resumed testing ballistic missiles in violation of United Nations resolutions. A very partisan debate has kicked off in the Senate over the House-passed For the People Act. On Wednesday, the Senate Rules and Administration Committee started examining the sweeping election reform bill, which passed through the House with absolutely no Republican support. Democrats are claiming the bill would increase citizens' ability to vote in elections. Republicans say election rules and laws are meant to be governed on the local level, and this legislation would be a federal takeover of the election process. Brazil hit 300,000 deaths from the coronavirus on Wednesday, becoming the second country behind the United States to see that many deaths from the pandemic. USA Radio News.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
As the United States faces an unprecedented humanitarian crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border, the Biden administration insists the previous administration caused the invasion of immigrants. Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas reminds Americans President Biden's actions is why we're at this crisis level.
Dismantle. That's the word they always use, that Donald Trump had dismantled the immigration system. That's simply false. Joe Biden is the one that dismantled the highly effective policies that created this crisis. There are three of those policies in particular. One was the public health exclusion order that said in the middle of a pandemic, we're not going to let people enter our country. Joe Biden created an exception for minors, and guess what? We have a lot of minors at our border now. Second was the so-called remain in Mexico policy. If you got to our border and you had an asylum claim, you had to remain in Mexico. You didn't just get released from the country on your own recognizance and hope that you returned to your hearing 18 months from now. And third was the so-called safe third country agreement, especially with Guatemala. If you left your country and you're seeking asylum, you have to seek asylum in the first country through which you pass, oftentimes Guatemala. Those three policies had effectively closed our border last year. Joe Biden eliminated them, and we have the Biden border crisis now.
Senator Tom Cotton on Fox News. In his military days, Senator Cotton was deployed to Baghdad as part of Operation Iraqi Freedom. As a platoon leader with the 101st Airborne Division in Iraq, he led a 41-man air assault infantry platoon in the 506th Infantry Regiment. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Next half hour of our American Family Farmer Show. Get the podcast, remember, at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com, which is basically sometimes a re-information. If we have a great conversation like we're having now, we'd like to bring you the anecdotal things, the important bits and pieces of it for you to consider. If you don't have time to listen to the program every week or can't find it, it's there whenever you want it at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Leslie Sobel from Food in Prison is here with us talking about some of the things we probably don't pay much attention to. And again, the popular feeling, this program is aimed at farmers and families and stuff. I'm sure that we don't have a lot of people who are outside of your world thinking much about this. And then again, as I said when we first got started, Leslie, a lot of people think they are in prison. They don't deserve to have any special treatment or any special food. I noticed that bologna sandwiches are big, and then there's other stuff that is in the food. One of the things that maybe is part of the sales, the aspect of this that's good to have people understand is you are what you eat. So if you're not eating things that are good, how does that affect your mental attitude? How does that affect your rehab in jail, if that's what you are concerned? I'd like to think that that's what we're trying to do, but it isn't usually too successful, rehabbing. It's just a place to put people that are they're not good citizens. And so the business about what's in the food, the diets that they have, the fact that we're spending $3 a day for meals in jail, this is one of the things is that it's a bid job. I'm sure that the food service, the same food service companies that are servicing colleges, private schools, are the ones who bid on and who get these jobs, right?
In some places, yes. There are some facilities in some states, some county-level facilities where the food service is privatized by a company like Aramark or Trinity, places that do often serve, like you said, schools, yes.
Yeah, right. So here's the angle that I would like to pursue as time allows here. Teaching the men and women who are in prison skills. There are lots of jobs in America in agriculture. We have to import people into this country from outside of the country to work on our farms. One wonders if it isn't an idea, I can't be the first person who's thought about this, to get people in prison to learn, and a lot of these prisons are out in the middle of nowhere and they have ground with them. Is that done anywhere, teaching prisoners how to farm and what the values are of having good food?
There are food production enterprises, I guess, food production institutions in most states across the United States. That can vary. In some places, the prison has gardens with, you know, great programs where people are actually learning skills. They might be able to earn Master Gardener certification. Those types of programs are very, very rare. In general, where there is food production in prisons, whether that's farming vegetables or there might be dairy operations or meat cattle operations, things like that, in the majority of those places, the food that is produced on those farms or in those gardens doesn't necessarily go into the meals of the people in the facilities. A lot of it gets sold, some of it gets donated to food pantries, but the people who are growing that food and potentially not being paid at all or being paid cents on the hour to make that food, they don't actually get to eat it.
Well, I'm not so concerned about what they get paid, but I do think it would be important for folks who are there to get the benefits, the nutritional benefits of growing things. Your description brings me back around to the situation here in Massachusetts, which I know best because that's where I've grown up and lived all my life. There were a lot of great farms, frankly, in the state prison system. For some reason or other, you go back to the Michael Dukakis era when he thought somebody got him to think that it was cruel to have people work as hard as they have to on the farm, and so they started closing the farms down. And in many cases, the animals that they were raising, the quality of the milk that they were producing, the quality of the other foods they were producing was superb because they had good leadership. They had good farmers who were teaching and making sure that what was going on the farm was going to be good for the public interest. And so one by one, these big state farm ag centers on the prisons have been closed down, and nobody knows why, and nobody understands, nobody can give us a good reason. I ask this question all the time. What do you keep closing these places for? They produce a valuable asset. They produce great food, and you give these people skills, working on the farm, a skill that can be used when you get out, and nobody's got a good answer. Is this same thing going on in other states, Leslie?
I think a lot of that probably has to do with budgets. There have been a lot of budget cuts, and specifically we've looked at in correctional agencies across the country, specifically around food. And many agencies have found that it's simply cheaper to pay for either privatized food service or for you know, food from large corporations that might be pre-prepared, you know, and just comes in frozen and it's sort of served in that heat and serve way. And again, that kind of food has serious health implications, but it tends to be cheaper, and a lot of these agencies are putting budget first.
But what's the expression, pound wise and penny foolish? It doesn't get to the issue of teaching these men and women a skill. What are we doing in prison? Now, I'll ask you this specifically. What is being done in prison systems that you're familiar with to teach people about food, about growing food? I think that from my experience, I've never been in jail, but I know people who have been in jail, and they're frustrated because there's nothing to do, and this is why so many of the recidivism rate is as high as it is, because there isn't anything to do. If you put people to work on farms and places like that, again, we've accomplished a couple of things. We've given them something to do that is important, and they have a skill when they get out of jail that they can use. I don't get what the thinking is here. You just said it was budget, but it's almost, it borders on stupidity. Seems to me.
I certainly agree with you that it's important to give people skills, and I think learning how to produce food is an excellent skill to have. It's just, unfortunately, the state of food and gardening and learning how to do that in prisons right now, just there aren't that many programs that are great. There are a handful around the country that I would say are doing a pretty good job with operating within the constraints they have to actually teach people skills related to gardens and farms. But unfortunately, it's just not the case across the country.
Well, it's very short-sighted. We'll continue with Leslie Sobel from Food in Prison, asking the question about farmers getting involved. What can you as a farmer do to get involved with this issue as we continue? My focus right now for the next 60 seconds is on you and your mental health. Your memory, are you doing well as you get older? You're taking care of yourself, your body, right? Aren't you taking supplements and eating well? You're cautious about your weight, that sort of thing. So you're taking care of your body. What about your mind? What about your brain? As you get older, all of us are losing our clarity. It just is the way it is. So when you lose a little bit of the memory here and there, why not put into your body the most advanced formula? That's what Prevagen is. Vitamin D, lots of natural things that make this a fabulous... there are four ingredients in this thing that make it so fabulous. Jellyfish. I bet you didn't know that was one of the main ingredients. It helps your mind. The scientific process that's been done, the research that's been done on Prevagen to make it safe, easy to use, the way that your brain benefits from having these things has been proven in study after study after study. So just me mentioning the name probably is enough. Making sure that your memory sticks with the things in your brain stick there, and you stick with a good program, supplementing your body and your brain at the same time, important to do. Prevagen is the product. Prevagen, Prevagen. Get it wherever you get health food. Shocking news of Calitrin. Tell us what the shocking news is.
I do think it's shocking that, you know, you can have a weight loss supplement that's actually good for you, that you have a supplement that doesn't have any drugs, there's no stimulants, it's safe even if you're on medications, and it's proven with a huge 86% success rate with the 90-day program. Calitrin is different. It really stands alone in the weight loss supplement industry. There are a lot of people that are gluten intolerant these days, and it is gluten-free. The capsules and the liquid both are gluten-free.
So what's the deal now? What do you have as a special?
Right now we've got a radio special where it's the unlimited buy three, get three free. And we also, I should mention, have a new afterpay option on our website too. So if you want to split up your payments, or you want to split it with a friend, you can do that on our website too. 1-800-325-4366. The website is toploss.com.
Use the DJV code for no shipping and the special deals. That's toploss.com, code DJV.
It's all about the nose. It's your air filter, the first line of defense against bacteria and viruses. If too many germs get stuck in your nose, guess what? You get sick. That's why it's so important to keep your nose clean, just like washing your hands. Nasal irrigation gets rid of germs by rinsing the nasal cavity, but neti pots are hard to use and, frankly, kind of gross. Now there's a better way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself. It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies, and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now it's time to start cleaning your nose with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Back here with our focus on the situation in the prison system, incarcerated individuals. There are two or three different issues here that are important. So how does an average farmer who's listening to us right now all across the country, how does he or she get involved with the issue? How can they help? What can they do? What do they have to offer? And what can they, turning it around, what can they learn from the project and from the people who are perhaps available once they get out of prison?
I think one important thing to consider is that 1 in 3 American adults has an immediate family member who has spent time in prison or jail. So the issue of prison food is one that really affects all of us. I think that... You know, farmers who want to get involved with this issue should contact the facilities that are closest to them, whether that's a local jail, whether it's a state prison, and find out about, you know, where do you source your food? Do we have anything that we could potentially sell to you to bring more fresh food into the prison, into the jail? If you're involved with a food hub or some sort of collective group where you can potentially work with larger contracts, ask them about selling to local prisons or jails, and also really think about if they're hiring people to come work on your farm, you know, be open-minded to folks who have been incarcerated. It's really hard to find jobs for people who have been incarcerated, and there are many people who do have experience working on a farm or in gardens while they were incarcerated and do have some of those basic skills and would probably do really well in an environment that is open-minded and supportive and continues to offer quality work in a place where they can continue to learn and build their skills.
All right, so let me give you my personal experience with this. I live in Framingham, Massachusetts. There is a correctional institution that's been here for 100 years, and until recently, in the jail, in the prison, were both men and women, various skill sets. It was a medium security prison. So I went about the business. I had two businesses in town. One of them is a farm. And I went to the prison. They had a work release program. And so I hired men and a few women, but mostly it was men. And I was trying to get women because I thought they'd be good, frankly. But the jail, for whatever the reason, the prison, discouraged having men and women work together outside for, I guess, obvious reasons. They don't want them fraternizing. But at any rate, I found the skill set. I had a manager of the farm who had been involved in the transportation industry, who was, by the end of his time, he spent almost a year working on the farm, had gotten most of the equipment into ship shape. He was interested in equipment. He grew up on a farm. He knew how to make it, to make everything, the pieces fit, if you will, when it came to the equipment. So the reason I tell you that story is because it's kind of an example of what you can do. And I wouldn't have known that that existed had the prison not come to me and say, we want to have a work release program. Can you hire some of these people on the farm? So maybe that's a different adjunct of this, Leslie, that ought to be promoted a little bit more.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there are a number of states where there are work release programs where people can work on farms and are continuing to gain those skills and are continuing to make connections that will serve them well after they are released.
I think you're right about that. All right, well, thank you. This has been a good illustration of how various sectors of our society can work together to make life better for people all across the board. Website is impactjustice.org if you want to find out more about what can be done, you can do to help them, and what the people in the prisons can do to help you. Leslie Sobel here with Doug Steffen on The American Family Farmer.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Back to the American Family Farmer. Doug Steffen here with my thoughts about clean eating. After listening to the conversation with a lady who's interested in the Justice League, and that's kind of what it is, or what we're eating, the thought about what goes on in prison, and I'm sure a lot of people haven't paid much attention, I would like to have you carry away from that conversation that there are, if there are prisons around where you are, it's a great, my experience, I think, hopefully tells the story well. It's a great source of help. And most of the people who are in there, not always, but most of the people who are in there are there. Not necessarily are they innocent, but I find I'm not a bleeding heart by any stretch of the imagination. But I do think that there are ways of helping people. Sometimes they get into situations, especially the younger they are, and they're not necessarily thinking about what they are doing. And so once they've learned their lesson, they become very productive, good workers. That was my experience anyway with being connected to the prison in my town. Thinking about eating in general, there's a survey that was done by the USDA that was I thought pretty telling. It was about commodities, what we're doing on our farms, large and small, what they're using to help get rid of weeds and pests and that sort of thing. The focus was on basically getting a national snapshot of the safety of our food supply. Some very good information. And I guess we, at the outset, because I'm kind of a cynic, I wonder about how reliable the information is, how decisions are made about what to test and where to test them and that sort of thing. So what happened in this circumstance is the USDA partnered with 10 states, Washington, California, Texas, Florida, New York, among them. And that's where they went to the states that represent about 50% of our population and where there are major producers of fruits and vegetables. This was not about dairy. And again, and about beef, it bothers me sometimes that so much focus is on produce. It's good to have it, but I think we need to also expand these things to talk about other commodities. Milk is a commodity. Beef and pork are commodities. Anyway, the data that came through, commodities that are most likely to be consumed by young children, that is fruits and vegetables, bananas, cabbage, cantaloupe, cauliflower, collard greens, peppers, kiwi. I'm just going through all of the various things that happens that they nicely put them in alphabetical order. Spinach, strawberries, peppers, as I said before, sweet peas, tomatoes, that sort of stuff. So the data is helpful. It suggests that the Food and Drug Administration needs to do a better job, perhaps not the USDA, although we think the USDA is in charge of this stuff. There's all, you know, you got the EPA involved, you got the Food and Drug Administration, you got all the government stuff. So at the end of the day, what are we getting? Is the food supply better? No, not really. The point here is that we've got all these damn government relationships with them telling you to do this, to do that, do this this way, this that way, like we don't know what we're doing. And then at the end of the day, what we're getting is not, I mean, there is some good news in this survey about the use of pesticides and how that is going down, the amount of things that are being used to soak our plants, the chemicals that are soaking the plants. And when you think about it that way, it gets kind of gross, right? You're soaking the food you're feeding to people in pesticides. And that was one of the things, although it wasn't the full, you know, there was an understanding here, because frankly what happens in government is they don't want to step on any toes, frankly. People that are in power, congressmen, senators, who get a lot of money, a lot of campaign contributions from these various companies, the big ag companies, they are influencing policy. And so they'll call, or it could be that somebody at the USDA or the EPA or the Food and Drug Administration has come from one of these big conglomerates. That's usually the case, and more the case with this administration, it seems. But it was the case with the last one. It's the same thing. They bring in people who are connected to the industry, and then they become regulators, and they fix things so that they're good for their industry or their company, and then they leave and go back to the company. So I can see that in this survey. I can see the influence of that in this survey, because even though they found that there were a lot of things that were not safe in our food supply, they haven't really, really, really brought down the hammer on the reason for it or how to get around it. Or and where we spend so much money in agriculture funding research, we should be funding more research to develop things that would help get rid of weeds and help pests and that sort of thing that is of a natural nature. There's plenty of it around. It just needs to be encouraged. And it hasn't been because of the influence of some of the big bad farm and ag businesses, agribusinesses. Food for thought on good eating, clean eating from the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.